Okay, so now we can get started as per usual, and the first thing we always do is review the minutes of the previous meeting that were distributed with the draft agenda. Does anybody have any amendments to make to those minutes? Hearing none, then we'll take the minutes for approved and move on to approval of tonight's agenda, our draft agenda, that is. Does anybody have anything to add or subtract from the draft agenda?
Not.
Well, okay. Then I guess we'll take
Everything's perfect.
we'll take it for a working document and proceed then. Okay, so the first item on our agenda is to discuss the possibility of a special teleconference with Christopher Bolin. Ned Delaney is the one who did the footwork on this. He's been in touch with Chris, and Chris said he'd like to be with us once, but he can't at our normal time. Hi, who just joined us?
Robin Horton.
Hey. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hello. Oh, hi, Barbara.
Hi.
So what Christopher said was, or what we figured out, I guess, was that if we were going to do this, it would have to be a special conference that would probably take place, like, on a Saturday morning, our time, so that he could participate. He said it would need to be early in the morning, but that was his last word, right?
Don't forget the 3-hour time difference earlier in California, please.
Right. Well, no. If it's early in the morning here, it would be, oh, God, yeah, it would be an ungodly hour there, wouldn't it? Well, so would maybe, do you remember what the time difference was on that, Ned?
Yeah, we're talking basically 6 hours. Is what he was saying. But he was saying that around 2 or 3 in the afternoon could work.
2 or 3 our time in the afternoon?
Well, it would be 2 or 3 Eastern time, so that would be, that would run it up to 10-ish Pacific time.
11 or 12, really.
11 a.m. to noon, that's all right.
Yeah.
So my impression is, at least the last correspondence I had with him, that 3 o'clock would be probably be the latest that he would want to. That's Eastern time that he would want to be together.
Well, we probably wouldn't want to push him that hard on it. Maybe, like, let's say if we did it, 1 o'clock our time, that would be 10 o'clock West Coast time. That wouldn't be bad. But what if I should say 1 o'clock?
That's all right.
Our time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it earlier than 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my impression is that would work as long as he's. It's just a matter of getting back with him, see what his schedule is. I know he's in and out of the country on a fairly regular basis, so.
Who just joined the call?
James Huffer.
Hi, James.
Hi.
Yeah, we're just discussing the Christopher Bolin conference possibility, and it's sounding like we need to do it like on a Saturday at, say, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Does that work for you? If we were
going
to do that? Okay. And then, so that would be, 10 o'clock on the West Coast. And,
This is Robin. I'm all in for that. He's well worth it.
Okay. Yeah, I hope we have a consensus that this would be a worthwhile endeavor. How many people would participate in it? Anybody here that would not participate in it if we scheduled it for a Saturday? Is anybody here who would not be interested?
I could do it unless it was on the 12th.
Yeah, it would depend on the specific date. It depends on the specific date.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
This is Ned. Basically, what I'll do is get back with him, find out what his schedule is, tell him that we're open for a Saturday, give him the times.
Wait a minute. Does anybody else have a blackout Saturday other than the 12th? Does anybody else have a Saturday that would not work for them?
Yeah, the 13th doesn't work for me. That's the same Saturday. Okay, that's out, okay. And next Saturday is out. And now it's the 2nd.
You mean this coming Saturday? Okay.
Fourth.
So, So that would mean that the second Saturday would be okay. No, that can't be right.
Both of the first two are out for me, so it's the third Saturday that begins to be okay. Of October.
Okay. So the third Saturday would be good for you, and nobody else has an objection to that. So we wouldn't do this until at least the third Saturday. So maybe, Dad, if you could get back with him and see if the third or fourth Saturday would work for him, third would be preferable.
Okay, so we're talking the 19th and 26th of October.
Yeah, preferably the 19th.
And preferably the 19th.
If we do the 26th, it seems to me that that's so close to our normal meeting date that we would probably want to go ahead and have our regular meeting behind it so that we don't have to.
I prefer the 19th if it's Barb, because I'm going to be on Susan Lindauer's show on the 26th.
Oh, boy. So let's ask if we can do the 19th. If we can't, we'll just do it another month. Tell them we think we can get enough people there on the 19th to make it worthwhile having it, and ask him if that will work for him, and give him the time parameters, and we'll go from there. Okay, I guess this would just be a special teleconference, the whole purpose of which would be to just hobnob with Chris and, discuss issues with him, not to pick up any other regular business. That really isn't something we want to try to do without advance notice. So,
yeah, no, but Ken, I think that Belen will have so much information, it's easy to dedicate one or more shows to his conversation.
Right. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that that's all we'll be doing on this call. We won't be taking up regular business. Our regular business will continue to be handled on the last Wednesday of the month, okay? So we have a good plan there. It sounds like a consensus plan, and then we'll get with them and let everybody know what will work for Chris. If that doesn't work for him, Ned, ask him to give us dates in November that will work for him on Saturday, or maybe a Sunday, too. Does anybody have any objection to this on a Sunday?
Not me.
Nope.
I'm okay.
No, it's okay. I'm okay with Sunday.
Okay, so
you might be surprised how many more people might be actually become more open, okay, on a weekend midday.
Well, it's possible.
Yep.
We'll find out. So I guess just ask him if any weekend day that would work for him at that. Actually, that same time frame. Okay, Ned, if you can't do it on the 19th.
If we're talking Sundays, that changes a lot of dates. And my point of view is the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you can see, we can't do it too much back and forth on this because we've got people on the call now. So.
No, but conceptually speaking, he might be open next Sunday.
That same Sunday, you mean?
No, the next Sunday from now. Not this Sunday, but the one after that. Because some people had problems with the 11th or the 12th.
Okay, right.
Ask Belen.
Hold on. You're going too fast. Does anybody have a problem with the Sunday this coming month? In the next time frame.
I have trouble with the 13th also, but I don't think that one person ought to be able to hold it up. I mean, there's so many people. But.
No, I think we can, we can find dates that we can all be there. I'd rather we do that. I don't want anybody to feel excluded from this. This is probably a one-shot deal.
I presume it's going to be recorded.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. If Chris doesn't have any objections, otherwise it won't be.
So we want to look at the 13th and 20th also then?
Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. James said he had a problem with the 13th, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But how about the 20th, James? Is that
that should be fine.
It sounds like the 19th and the 20th, he could pick a date there, and that would be our proposal to him. And then if that doesn't work, then just ask him to name some dates in the following 30 days where he'd be available on a weekend. we'll just pick one out next time, okay?
Okay. What about the next three Sundays? Maybe he's open this Sunday, next Sunday, the Sunday after that. If we're opening Sundays, why are you pushing it off until mid-October?
Because James said he couldn't do it on 13th.
Yeah, well, okay, well, what about the 7th?
Sure.
Well, or the 6th.
That's a proposal.
That's
does anybody
that's
have
what
a
I'm trying to say. What are you, why are you pushing it off?
Hey, Robin, take it easy, will you? I'm not pushing anything off. If you want to make a proposal, that's fine. We can consider those dates, okay? Let's not get into antagonism here, okay? Please.
Okay, right, so I suggest my proposal is that we talk to Berlin and we just simply say which is the earliest Saturday and Sunday that you would be available and let him make his choices,
no,
and then we will go from there.
First we have to find out if any of those dates are a problem for people. Then we can propose it to them. Already we have the 19th and the 20th cleared, all right? We know the 13th is blocked. Do we want to go back a weekend earlier, as you're suggesting, and see if anybody has those dates open? Okay, that would be the 7th and the what? The 7th and the 6th or something?
The
6th. What would that
September.
Be? The 5th and the 6th of October.
I'm not available on the 5th.
I'm not
okay,
available.
Okay,
so you're not available on the 5th?
Six is maybe.
For whom?
Paul.
Paul, okay. So 6 is might be a problem for you, Paul?
Yeah, maybe not. But 5th is out.
All right, well, let's not try that then. Let's keep it state that we are pretty sure
my proposal is that we ask Christopher Bullin, okay, this is my proposal. I'm making a proposal. That we have Ned reach out to Christopher Bullin and say, what would be your soonest available Saturdays and Sundays? And then when he gives us that answer, then we have this discussion.
Oh, and how are we going to do that? That's what I would like to know. That's what I don't understand.
Well,
how are we going to have this discussion?
We have the discussion by your email system.
What email system?
I mean, I get information about this teleconference. You can use that same process.
No, that goes out to 113.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Oh, okay, you can propose it, but I'm gonna stand against it. Okay, so you can propose that if you wish.
We should invite everybody on this.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah, I agree with Robin. We should encourage everybody on the list of 100 to be on the call.
Listen, man,
let me clarify. Everybody on the conference list will be invited to the call, but in terms of date selection, I believe that should be done here, okay, among the people who are on this call. Okay, it should be a date that works for everybody that's on this call, period. That we're in the process of making that determination. Once that's made, once the date is agreed to by Christopher, it will be announced to the entire listener, and everybody will be invited to be on the call.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay? So but this process of trying to use that listserv as a way of determining the data is frankly something I'm willing to do. Okay? I'm not going to do that. Somebody else can do it if they want to, but I'm not going to do it. That would be crazy. I mean,
that's not my proposal. 30.
Okay. All right, then I misunderstood you. Go ahead.
Yes, you did. Yeah. So let's just start off by saying that you have the cart in front of the horse. I'm putting the horse in front of the cart. Talk to Christopher Bullin, ask him simply, okay, which Saturday and or Sundays in the next month and a half he has open that he could be flexible enough to converse with us in his later evening and our midday. That's all. And then all you got to do is just talk to the people either on this thing, and if Craig is on this line, talk to the people who are on this conference call right now and see how that works, or... Okay, what I would do is I would go out and chum the waters and I would send it out to everybody on the listserv and just see what reaction you get. And the greater number you get on the phone in responses is the Saturday that works.
I clearly did not misunderstand you, so we're going to take that as a proposal. Does anybody want to second his proposal?
I do. I second it.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that will be...
Fall on the sack.
That we ask Christopher to name open dates, and then we use our master list that we only use usually for our agendas and minutes to find out who can come and who can't come on different dates? Is that the way it would work that you're suggesting?
Yeah. Just the greatest number of people that could attend on whatever days.
All right. Well, who would like to facilitate while we debate this? Because I definitely need to argue against this one.
Yes, I'm going to argue against it also.
Who would like to take my place and facilitate for a bit so that I can debate?
No, this is Ned. I'll be happy to fill in.
Thank you, Ned. Thank you, Ned. I'd like to be on the stack also.
Okay, so who's first on the stack? Do we go for, we initiate the discussion at this point, or?
Yeah, just make a stack note and then call people in order.
I think Paul was on the first stack. I think he opened up.
Really? Still arguing when you have the next call.
Okay, should I go ahead?
Okay, whoever's first on the stack, go ahead and...
Getting background noises, though.
Getting a lot of interference right at the moment.
Somebody may need to star six if you have something going on in the background.
Sounds like the ocean.
Calling 767.
Well, Paul, why don't you try it? I think you were first on the stack.
Okay, no, I just want to say that there's nothing wrong with us deciding now that is, that we can't do it on the 5th, the 12th, and the 13th. That's why I'm opposing the proposal. There's no point in offering him dates that we don't want to choose to do.
I thought one of the dates was the 19th and 20th that we were considering.
Yeah, that's fine with me. That's fine. I'm only talking about don't mention, just tell him that the 12th and the 13th and the 5th are not available for us.
Well, I didn't check that.
Okay, is there any other comment that you have to make at this point?
This is Ken. I'd like to be on the stack also.
Okay, who's next on the stack then?
I can't make my window totally closed. Oh, this is okay,
that's,
Danny.
That's for you to determine that.
Did you want to know? Okay.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I don't have a list of names here.
Okay. Well,
a little time out here. Hey, Barbara, I think that there's some cross-talking from you that is filtering into this conversation. It's background stuff.
Ned, can I have a floor, please?
Yes. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. I'm 100% against this proposal because I believe, first of all, that the people who are on this call should be making the determination of what dates we want to offer them. Nobody who has any problem on any date should have to think about that date being offered to him. We're not looking to do this at his convenience. We're looking to do this at our mutual convenience, okay? So it's whatever dates work for the people who are on this call right now, plus whatever dates he can fill into from the dates that we give him, that we can all be there. The idea of using our master list as a way of determining which dates we have is just going to be a herding cats process that I personally will not do that, okay? That's asking for a whole lot of time, energy, and effort that's just totally unnecessary in this process. We can certainly determine available dates, let him pick a date, and then once that date is agreed to by him, we then announce it to the master list and invite everybody on the call. That is the only way that I can see that this can go forward. Any other way is asking me to take a lot of more time on this thing than it's worth, okay?
Do we have any further discussion? I'm not sure what to do here next. Anybody else
on
the stack?
Yeah, Robin on the stack, so I'll respond to that.
Okay, Robin.
My position always will be to be inclusive and not exclusive. I understand that the kind of proprietary nature of the people on this call, I understand that, okay, but I feel that Bolin's message, and he is such a special person, that he should benefit from special considerations of this teleconference. He's in exile for a reason. Okay, and that is because the U.S. system and the 9/11 Truth community has pushed him out there. So I just consider him like, and Honegger's one, and Griffin and others. You know, they're you know, Gage. They're important people to adjust our schedules to listen to. That's just what I feel. And you, about a month or 2 months ago, you're wondering why people were not. No longer engaged in, you know, or disinterested in, whatever, and it's because there's an exclusionary process, which is normal. I'm not mad at anybody. That just sort of happens. But I think you have to take steps to make sure you include things. And my proposal is simply to ask Bolin which dates he is available for Saturday and Sunday in the next month and a half, and then we go from there.
That flat cloud. Okay.
Barbara, are you on the stack? We're getting some interference here, and people are fading in and out.
Yeah.
Point of information?
Yes?
I'd like to ask, Robin, when you say ask him which charities and Sundays he's available for, and then go from there. What do you mean by go from there? How do we go from there? And what would be the problem?
What we do from there is we just simply seed the crowd. We just simply say Christopher Bolin is available to have a communication with us sometime on a midday Saturday in the following Saturdays and Sundays in the next month and a half. And then you say, which of these dates are out for you and which of these dates are in for you? And just
get feedback
from the people, that's all.
This would be done to the entire 125 people.
Yeah, absolutely. Let them
know
that
we're doing it. People who have never been on this call would be equally entitled to vote on which date we would choose.
Yes, because if they're not interested, they're not going to reach forward. They're not going to do it. They may become interested in this. Bolin is a special character. He's in frickin' exile.
This is Ken. I'd like to be back on the stack.
And this is Craig. I'd like to get on the stack, too.
This is Verpa. I'd like to get on the stack.
Craig. And who was the last one?
Susan Verpa.
Susan? Okay. Okay, Craig, I have your name next.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole idea of exclusionary, that we've been exclusionary in the past. I sort of have a problem with that suggestion. I think people who participate, I mean, this is a teleconference group, so, you know, people are given the opportunity every single month to participate when they receive the agenda, and if they choose not to do that, that's their choice, so no one is being excluded. And I think the idea, I agree with Ken. I think this, the idea of reaching out to people that have never been on this call to see when it's convenient for them just doesn't make a lot of sense. I think it's kind of unfortunate that we didn't already know what Bolin's availability was. I kind of thought that when we put this off before that would be the result, that we would sort of find out, okay, here's generally when he can do it, and then we would just pick something. But failing that, I think we should just basically give a range of whatever it is, say the weekend of the 19th and 20th, say that would be our optimal weekend, and see if he can do it.
Right.
Okay, Ken, you're next on the, get back on the stack, is that correct?
Yeah, I think somebody else wanted to speak that hadn't spoken yet.
Oh, okay. Who is that? Is this
Barbara? I think Barbara.
Barbara?
Yeah.
Okay. Barbara, you're up? Barbara? I wonder if she's on mute.
It's star 6, Barbara, if you're muted. Well, okay, I'll go ahead. Maybe she'll get back in. Look, nobody being excluded in this process. There are going to be some people that can't make it on a specific date. That's true. We're not going to find a date that's going to work for 126 people. But we can find a date that's going to work for all the people on this call. And that should be our first priority. Then once we have that date, those dates, that we can all be on a call, we ask him which one would work for him, if any of them. And that way, when we take it to the rest of the people, they will all be invited to participate. Yes, there may be one or two that can't make a certain date. That's true. But it's better that the people who are regularly on this call, who will be certain to be there, can make it on this call, rather than people who have never been on the call in the first place. I don't see the point of querying them as to their availability when they don't even come to these conference calls, some of them, okay? So I don't really understand the purpose of this. We want to make it a date that we can ascertain a number of us will be able to be there, because we don't want Chris to show up and then there'd be nobody else there for him, okay? So that's my thought, that we need to ensure some participation by picking a date that we can all commit to. That's why I was asking if people, you know, would actually be there before we go ahead and offer him these dates, but everybody said they would be able to. So I think that's the best way to get it started, and then we invite others. We do an outreach. But I don't think we do the outreach in terms of the date availability. That would be asking for a lot of time and energy. That's not necessary.
Okay. Hey, Ken, why don't we vote on the motion that's on the table, and then that'll move us forward.
It's not me. It's not up to me. It's up to Ned. I'm not facilitating right now.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay.
No,
Is this Susan speaking?
No, that was Barbara. But
oh,
I'm
Barbara?
On stack. Yes, I think Barbara, are you on stack too?
No, I'm not on the stack. I'm just
okay.
Well, then okay. Susan, you're on the stack. If you'd like to finish up here, then we can maybe do a vote on the proposal and move on.
Well, I agree with Ken that to put the dates out to the larger group as to allow the larger group to choose would be a logistical nightmare. And I don't know how many on the call have been involved in organizing things like this, but I know that in my experience it is a nightmare, and things actually never come to fruition when you don't provide the leadership that is needed to actually choose the date. And I think if we're being very lenient, choosing lenient choice of dates that Christopher Boylan would be available on. You have the date, you build it, people will come. And I think that to complicate issues by having a whole mass of dates and putting it out to a whole mass of people to choose the dates, it'll just bog it down. I don't think it's a problem having an alternative, just a handful of alternative dates, pick which one's the best for Christopher Boylan and the people organizing this, and it'll be a success.
Okay, does anyone else have any comments to make? Then can we take a vote on the proposal that's been made, and That sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all those in favor of the proposal, say aye.
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 And those against?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay. I believe the nays have it.
Nay.
So, basically, what I'll do is get a hold of Christopher Bowen and give him these 2 dates. If he comes back with others in through that are better for him in through October and November, then I'll make a note of it and get back with everyone and let know what his open dates are. But he's basically waiting on me to get back with him to report back from the group. So it sounds good to me.
Point of information, do you have a proposed agenda or just the we're just discussing now getting him online, so to speak?
No, it will be in order to discuss the agenda now that we've got this part out of the way.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank you very much for filling in. I appreciate that.
Okay, I have one comment to make.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing that initiated all this were a couple of books that he just recently had published in 2012, Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. And there's 2 books. One is a series of articles that he wrote, and then there's a separate book, unto itself. So those might be a couple of things for everyone to reference prior to the discussion that he may want to reference in speaking with us.
And I would like to point out that they're available on his website. They're available to read online, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, they're available online. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's important because we want to include that when we invite people to the teleconference.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So are there any other comments concerning the question of this teleconference that hopefully will be on either the 19th or the 20th?
Yeah, Robin on the stack.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, we'll...
Barb on the stack.
Okay, go ahead.
In this call today, will we be trying to assemble a loose agenda for that conference from our part?
Well, that's my question. Yeah, it's wide open. You know, we're just discussing all the aspects of it here, anything that anybody wants to discuss, okay?
Okay, great. Well, what I would want to put into that, whomever is finalizing this agenda, is a discussion about the Greater Israel Project. And if anybody hasn't taken a look at that, the great group in Canada, Global Research, has done a phenomenal job at presenting background information about the Greater Israel Project. And my personal perception is as follows. It is the key log in the 9/11 story. And the key log is the one log, the one thing that if you pull it out, everything else starts, all the other logs behind it start to flow. And it is incredible, and it is being on display by the behavior of the United States government right now towards just putting the big whack on so many countries in the Middle East. So it's a huge thing. So
okay.
Greater Israel Project, that's what I want to put on the agenda and discussion.
How would we involve Christopher in this? I mean, to what extent?
All you have to do is let Christopher know, okay, ahead of time, that one of the discussions that will be subject that will be discussed is his views on the Greater Israel Project and how does that inform the 9/11 Truth Community.
Yeah. By the way, Robin, if you could clarify, I believe by the Greater Israel Project you're referring to the goal of the right-wing territorial Israelis, the Likudists and the right-wing, to eventually expand the boundaries of Israel to the greater Israel boundaries in Leviticus, which are from the Nile to the Euphrates. Is that what
you're
talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, people don't realize that those two blue lines on either side of the blue Star of David on the Israeli flag represent the Nile and the Euphrates.
Yeah. Well, yes, the answer to your question is absolutely yes, Barbara. And if you read the work, okay, that global researchers put together, kind of like, and it sort of is based on Oded Yinon's, I don't know how to, you know, if I'm not saying it right, whatever it might be, okay, work, what you find out is that the Middle East needed to be broken down into small tribes, not the larger countries that we all know are out there. And then one by one, the small tribes could be sort of overwhelmed, and then Israel could, you know, do what it wants to do, which is indeed, okay, reclaim what it considers to be its property from the Nile to the Euphrates.
Okay, let's not have the discussion here. The question is whether we want to include a discussion of the Greater Israel Project as part of the agenda of that conference call, okay?
Yes.
Is Christopher Bolin written on this question in particular?
I do not know, but I know he is a Mid East specialist, Israeli specialist. He's been studying this for years, and that's why I would really want to hear his points of view. He's well studied in this, and I'm not.
Well, I agree with Rob that it's fundamental to 9/11. But I think we could just request to let him know that we're very interested in that if he's willing to, tell us his perspective on it.
Well, would that work for you, Robert?
Oh, yeah. Paul on the stack.
Yes.
Yeah, Craig on the stack.
Okay. All right, so the way the proposal's been clarified is that his views on the Greater Israel Project and its pertinence to 9/11 would be one of the subjects that we'd ask him to comment on in the course of the discussion. Okay. Go ahead, Paul. You're next.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say I don't think we should try and I don't know. It's just this is a 9/11 truth conference, and we ought to just not throw out just something like that without a connection to 9/11. We could ask Norman Finkelstein the same question, and he doesn't really work on 9/11. So I don't quite understand why we should even. We can ask him a question, and Robin can do whatever he wants in the question period. But I don't know that we should be steering him in that direction. Yeah.
Is it okay if I start?
Does anybody want, first of all, I guess this is a proposal. Does anybody want to second Robin's proposal? Nobody wants to second it? Well, all right, then we don't need to discuss that. Then I guess it's just a question at this point. I guess it's anybody can bring anything up to him that they want and ask him to comment and expand on it. Okay, I guess. Any other issues relating to the teleconference with Christopher Bolin?
Well, I take it that it's just going to be open, that Chris tells us whatever he wants, and then we ask him questions and have an open dialogue, right?
Well, it seems to me, Barbara, if I may, that we should ask Christopher to give a little opening spiel of some sort, just letting us know where he's coming from, maybe filling us in a little bit on his recent history, and then opening it up to discussion and questions and answers. He can talk about his books and stuff whenever he wants to here. We could give him a period of time to just address us and then open it up to questions from everybody and get involved in discussions on the various issues with him. That was, I guess, my thinking on it, but that's just one way we could do it.
Robin on the stack.
Robin?
Yes.
Hold on a sec. Excuse me. Point of order. What stack are we using? Are we talking about now? Because I was on the stack before, and then
you're right. I take that point of order. Craig was on the stack, Robin. I'll put you behind Craig. Go ahead, Craig.
I'm not sure what the stack is commenting on, if the proposal's been withdrawn, but I will say this, that I think I think we're better off with just an open format, because we're free to ask him anything, and the discussion can go anywhere we want it to go, or anywhere that any individual wants it to go. And rather than, if we pick a certain point and make that part of an agenda, then it elevates that point to some sort of special status above any other points. And I think it'll all work out. I mean, we do it with every other guest speaker we have, and it works pretty well. So I would just do it that way.
Ned on the stack.
Okay, let's see. I guess Robin and then Ned. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, my point of view is, Craig, exactly my point, okay, and then moving on from that. I think that the fact that Krista Bohlin is in Sweden, and that we all know that one of the forces in the entire 10-year-plus program or investigation into the events of 9/11 that has been suppressed each, you know, whenever it needed to be, was the role of Israel in 9/11. And I think that this should be accepted and looked at and considered, and then we should provide a more open door, not less open door, to such discussions. Obviously, I'm going to bring this up to Christopher. I email him occasionally anyways. So that will happen anyway. So, Craig, you're exactly correct. That's exactly why I made the proposal, was because I do want to make sure that people on this teleconference understand the three words, the words which is the Greater Israel Project. And then if that draws people to reading about what Global Research did up in Canada, then we all become informed. And again, in my personal view, this closes the circle on 9/11. It's perfect.
I agree with Robin. It's fundamental to 9/11. So people should educate themselves about the Greater Israel Project, which is a project of the right wing in Israel.
Right on.
Okay, Ned, did you say you wanted to speak to this?
Yeah, I did. If you get on the website and you read his latest book, Solving 9/11, I think this debate discussion will probably come to an end, because the focus brings in the Israeli question. So I think we're kind of drawing the straws at this point with where Bohlin has been focused recently. My discussion with him leading up to this possibility of a conference was based on giving him his head basically to discuss these issues from wherever he's coming from at the present. I know there's a lot of different angles that he can speak from, but the impression I'm getting, at least based on his recent books and this most recent book, is he's focused on the Israeli influence and on 9/11. So yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem. So.
I'm sorry, who, Barbara, who else?
I'd like to be on the stack, Barbara.
I know, Barbara, but somebody else, they want to be on the stack also, right? Okay, go ahead, Barbara, I'll go behind you.
Yeah, just a comment on, I think it was Ned's comment that he just made. I find it fascinating that the most recent book that everyone's talking about, which is Another 19 by Kevin Ryan, goes out of its way not to bring in the Israeli connection, or even the neocon connection. It's just amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hear, hear, Barbara. Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Okay, I would just say that if we did not want Christopher Bohlin to speak about Israel, then I think we would have to make a proposal. But since we are not doing that, I think the floodgates will open up. He's totally focused on the role of Israel in 9/11, and I don't think there's any question that will be every other word that he, utters. From my experience of his books, I've read his works, and they're always focused on that question. So let me just ask people a straw poll: how you feel about a format where we'd ask Chris to just give us a short update on his situation and anything that he wants to inform us about, and then just open it up for anybody to ask questions and then allow discussion on any point that anybody raises.
Frank on the stack on that.
Okay, Frank, go ahead.
Okay, I like the idea of him doing an opening statement with a little biographical material and also what he's doing at the current time. Then, prior to his talk...
I'm sorry, also what? Well, I didn't hear that. Also what?
And prior to his talk, I think we should submit questions we want to ask and that they randomly be picked rather than all us yelling at the same time during the call and trying to get on the stack. And we just randomly pick... we assign somebody to randomly pick those questions and we go through them. So if anybody has a particular thing that they want Chris to talk about, submit it, and if it comes up in the random pick, then it gets talked about. Otherwise, you're going to have chaos with 10, 20 people trying to get on the stack and then arguing about who was first, who was third, who was fifth, etc.
Are you suggesting that these would be written in advance and submitted or something?
Yes, and then randomly picked.
Okay.
Robin on the stack?
Does anybody want to second this proposal?
I'll second it.
Okay. So that's what we're discussing now is whether we want to ask people to submit their questions in advance and then have a random selection process of the questions.
Robin on the stack.
Craig on the stack. Craig.
Robin and Craig, who else?
I'd like to be James.
James, who else?
Barbara.
Ned.
Barbara, who else?
Ned.
Ned, who else? Okay, Robin, you're first.
This is the exact specific process used to eliminate the freedom of discussion of events, to take a whole bunch of ideas that we want to talk about, mine in particular, which is the Greater Israel Project, and put it into the hat, reduces the ability or the potential of that discussion to be conducted. This is the specific, same, repeated, exact process by which Israel has been able to eliminate the discussion of Israel within the 9/11 truth community. Thank you for exposing yourself. Over.
Craig, I'm going to put myself at the end of the stack here. Craig, you're next.
Well, I agree with Robin in this case. I think having it done that way would cause, I think, way more sort of headaches than it would actually solve. Ken's sort of running the meeting, he takes note of everybody's name who wants to speak, and he makes a list, and then we go in order. So I don't think it would be that much chaos. I think we've done it in the past, and it would work fine here, and it would be more, as Robin points out, it would be a freer discussion if we didn't restrict it in that way. I do want to say one thing, though. I've noticed in past situations like this where we have a guest, sometimes we'll have, certain people will, make long speeches as a prelude to a question. And given the fact that we're all going out of our way to hear Christopher Bolin, I would just sort of like to, empower Ken or give him, whatever support, that we need to give him in order to try to sort of regulate that as best he can, with people not getting upset about it. Because, I mean, we want to hear what Bolin has to say. We don't want to hear, 5 minutes of what each of us might want to say, Quick sort of prelude and a question, and that would be, I think, preferable. So I'm hoping that we can all maybe agree just to, try to keep our speeches very short.
Okay, thank you. James?
Well, I'd like to suggest that we contact Kevin Ryan and especially invite him to participate along with us on the call. Not to share the spotlight with Chris Bolin, but to just participate and be available to ask questions and maybe answer a question that has to do with the the striking dissimilarity between what
James,
he says about Israel and what Chris
says. James, I'm gonna note that as a proposal, but we can only take up one proposal at a time, so let's get done with this one, and then we take up yours, okay?
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Barbara?
I agree with Robin. I don't think the person who proposed the idea of having questions written up front has exposed himself to anything. I know who that is, and it was a well-meaning proposal. I just don't think it's necessary. For myself, I think that Ken does a great job of moderating and putting us on the stack. So I do think it's a good idea to let Christopher know that we do the stack thing and not to be put off by it, but that's our normal operating procedure. So he knows that in advance, if Ned could let him know that. That's my comment.
Thank you, Ned.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I agree with that idea. The discussion I had with Chris was that the format would be fairly open, and he would be free to basically just discuss what he's been doing and what he's focused on and his impressions of 9/11 and where things stand at the present. As far as having set questions, I can see that maybe muddying the water, in that we don't know how much he has that he would like to present to everyone. In other words, would we be giving him so much time to speak and then saying, well, we're going to have questions at that point? Or, I mean, he could have, you know, an entire afternoon worth of information to share that he would want to present. So I'm just trying to be flexible there as far as the format's concerned.
Thank you, Ned. Yeah, and I appreciate your effort to do that. There's a couple of parameters here that we don't know, and I think it's making it difficult to address this question. The first parameter that we don't know is how many people will be on the call, okay? And the second parameter we don't know is how long will the call last. So I think, Ned, you could help that in one respect, is to find out from Chris, assuming he agrees to this one of these dates, how long max is he willing to spend. That would then allow us to figure out whether we can do something like this. Everybody who's on the call will have an opportunity to ask at least one question, okay? I think that's a reasonable estimate. And then if we have enough time, we can do a second round and then even a third round, depending on how many people are on the call and so forth. And then that way everybody gets an opportunity to say what they think is important, to ask them what they think is important. I don't anticipate, even if we open this up to the entire list, I don't anticipate more than 20 or 30 people on the call. And so I think it would be quite feasible to have everybody have an opportunity to ask one question. Okay, now, if there's fewer people on the call, everybody can ask three questions, okay? That's how I think might work better, and we can just keep going around and around until everybody feels like they've asked what they need to ask. What do you think about that, Ned?
Yeah, like I say, I don't know just exactly how much time he feels he's going to want to give to give it the call, and then I guess I really haven't run it by him as far as how he feels about tagging questions and that sort of thing. So I mean, I'll approach him about it and tell him what the discussion has been and go from there.
Does that work for others? Does that seem like a reasonable approach to take at this point? Just kind of let him know what we'd like to do and see how he feels about it, and then we'll go from there.
We need to hear back from him through Ned.
Robin on the stack?
I also wanted to say that I noted Craig's helpful suggestion, and would just like to know that others feel similarly to Craig that we should actually limit our questioning time to asking questions and not to speechifying. Does everybody agree with that so that I know how to help moderate when if that problem comes up?
Yeah, That's up to you as the moderator.
Well, it's a proposal that Craig has made, and I have to respond to it. So I just want to know that others feel similarly so that I will know the feeling of the group. I'm here to serve the group, not the other way around. So I just want to get the feeling of the group. All right. Then, let's see. All right. Bob, you want to speak to this question again a second time? Go ahead.
Yeah, again, I just want to clarify why it was in the beginning that I said that I wanted to put on the agenda specifically discussion of the Greater Israel Project, okay, and now we have seen two forces in here to kind of avoid that particular thing, and that is that if we have a lot of people on the phone call, each person should be available to make their contribution, which I completely support, okay? And my only point is that if this discussion goes through and we haven't had a chance to talk or ask Christopher Bullin specifically about his views about the Greater Israel Project as it relates to 9/11, we will be missing one of his greatest gifts. I talk to him. I email him. I've read his works. We have a nice relationship.
Well,
it's incredible. So
yeah,
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, if that's your feeling, then you should be sure, assuming that we go with the format that we're suggesting here, that you get on the call and that you make that your first question to him.
Well, I'll be there.
All right, so let's see now. We're going to the outreach to Kevin proposal from James. James has requested that we consider doing a special outreach to Kevin Ryan, to include him on this, to see if he can participate in this call because why? Because you think it'll be useful for Kevin to hear this stuff, right? You want to speak to your proposal there? James?
Well, I tried to contact Craig before to see if he could or would be interested in arranging kind of maybe a debate by email or something for one of his columns between the two of them because their positions on the participation of Israel seem to be so much at variance. I thought it would be very useful. But I never got an answer, but I would still like to hear some interaction between the two of them on that subject.
Sorry, James, I must have missed that one. I apologize.
No, well, that's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, that can happen. Craig, I still would request that you consider that at least.
Well, I think that would be fascinating if they were willing to do it. I don't know, but
yeah.
Well, I don't probably my turn to talk, but
for our purposes here, you're suggesting that we ask Kevin to participate in this call as another participant, right?
I'd like to get on that stack for sure.
Before we do the stack, I need to get clarification on what is being requested here. You're asking James that we do a special outreach to Kevin just to ask him to participate in the call, right?
Just to point out the opportunity for him and for us to learn that he participate.
I second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we do a special outreach to Kevin Ryan to get him to participate in this special conference call if they get set up. Anybody want to speak to the motion?
Ned.
Craig.
Robin.
Barbara. Who else?
Robin.
Craig. I got Craig, Barbara, Robin. Who else?
Oh, Ned.
Ned. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Craig.
I think it's a great idea to get the two of them in some sort of debate situation. That would be fantastic. I don't know if this call is going to be the venue, like, where that's going to work too well. I mean, having the thing focused on Berlin and then...
Craig, let me interrupt you here. That's not the proposal.
Yeah.
The proposal isn't to have a debate here. It's to invite Kevin to participate
in
the call.
I understand. That's why I said I think the idea of a debate is a great one.
However, what we're talking about in this case, which is having, as you say, having Ryan just come onto the call and participate, I don't see how that can kind of work, because he's not, I mean, I think we should invite Ryan to be a guest on a separate call, and have him, and then question him the way we're doing with Bolin. And then if there's some other, you know, venue that we can, some other way that we can have the two of them sort of have an exchange, then that'd be great. But I just think that it's not going to work in the context of this call with Bolin, which we're sort of going out of our way to organize a special time for.
Are you saying then that if this proposal is defeated, that you will then propose to do a special outreach to Kevin to invite him to do a similar special conference call in which he would be the focus?
I think that would be a great idea. I don't know if you, I mean, okay. I don't know if he'll be okay. excited to hear from me or not, but...
I'm just trying to clarify. Okay, so yeah. You're going to propose that if this proposal gets defeated. All right, Barbara, you're next?
Yeah, I am.
Frank on the stack.
Frank, gotcha. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. Well, I first want to say that this whole discussion about the Christopher Bolin call has taken over an hour, and now I have to leave the call before we talk about this magnificent conference we've had in D.C. So it's unfortunate I'm about to arrive in...
Barbara, would you like to move to table this discussion until you can give us some feedback on the conference?
Well, that's not necessary. There are other people who, Frank...
No, I seconded. I seconded.
All right.
It's been moved and seconded to table this discussion until we didn't have a chance to listen to Barbara's feedback on the conference and others. So we will pull it back off the table at that point, if that's agreeable to everybody. Does anybody object to that?
No.
Okay. Then go ahead, Barbara. Why don't you give us a rundown, unless you wanted to speak to this issue first before you leave.
Oh, you mean to give you just my brief rundown right now, is what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand. I thought you meant to put it off till the next call, and I was going to say that's not...
No. Table just means we're temporarily putting it off.
All right. Thank you. I just like to say that if we're speaking to the conference, I personally feel that it was a major triumph for the movement. The Pentagon session that I was involved with, the three speakers, in my opinion, pointed the way and that has been explicitly stated by Dr. Tim Eastman in an email to a number of us who were in the Pentagon panel, pointed the way towards a consensus, a true consensus. That is basically a North Pass plane. That did not fly over, but in my opinion was destroyed before it could have hit the wall near the heliport. And Duane Dietz's presentation made it very clear from actual experiments with large planes hitting hardened walls that the so-called internal damage path from the diagonal inside of column 14 in the west wall, in the wedge one of the west wall, the official story alleged impact point, that the plane simply couldn't have gotten through that, maybe the engines, but that's it. And so that supports the pre-placed internal explosives, which is the major point of my work. The white plane at the heliport is incredibly secondary to internal pre-placed explosives, which is the same real story as at the World Trade Center. So I was just incredibly encouraged. People were galvanized by this conference. We all felt that it was historic. And I know that people can nitpick it, but having been there and having experienced it and having the venue looking down over the west face of the Pentagon, it really was a major quantum leap forward for our movement, and everybody there felt so. So that's my comment, and I'm sorry I can't stay on the call, but this first part has taken so much, and now I'm about to have to go to an event here in Santa Cruz.
Sure. Well, thank you for that, Barbara. We appreciate that. I have a couple questions for you real quick before you leave, if I may. How many people attended the event, and was it tele-recorded so that people will be able to view it later?
Yes, very good question. Yes, It was, as you probably know, live streamed. Many people did see it successfully on a live stream. There were a couple of sound problems in one of the presentations, and I frankly don't know which one it was. It was the second day, I believe. But those got fixed. The entire conference was videotaped by two cameras, and there are at least five people who have the full videotape from both cameras. And Pamuk, who is one of the two videographers, the other was Barton Bruce of the Boston area, Humuk is putting the videos up on EC911conference.org website as we speak. He's starting with the first presenter, which was Richard Gage, and moving forward in the order of presentation, first everybody on Saturday, then Sunday. It will take a while to get those up, but they will be up, and you, the very first place you'll be able to know where what the YouTube links are is on the C911conference.org website. Just check that periodically.
What was the attendance, Barbara?
Oh, thank you. The attendance was standing room only. We were able to sell about 70 tickets, but there were people there who were in the breakout room in the back looking through the door. It was standing room only, and it was incredibly successful. We did break even financially. We made over $13,500.
Great.
I have a question I'd love to ask before Barbara leaves.
I've got to go. Sorry.
Thanks, Barbara. Robin.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Sue, you were helping to organize the conference, weren't you?
Yes, yes. As involved as some of the other organizers, but yes, I helped a little bit.
Maybe if people have questions, we can fix Sue's brain maybe a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I the question I was going to ask Barbara, I don't know if Sue would know this or not, but one of the things that really stuck out for me, there were some serious technical problems on Sunday morning, which made it pretty hard to really follow the whole Pentagon thing, because Dwayne's presentation was completely... the streaming didn't come on until his presentation was just finishing, and then the video that Matt showed, which was CIT video, the sound was completely you couldn't hear it at all. It was a buzzing sound all the way through. So I look forward to seeing the videotape versions. But one thing that struck me, it blew my mind actually watching it, was that Barbara's presentation seemed to take an hour and 56 minutes, which I understood that there was a limit of 50 minutes on each of the three, that there was going to be some attempt to sort of equal opportunity to be given to all three of those speakers. And I'm very curious to know why Barbara was allowed to go on twice as long as anyone else. It seems to kind of reinforce or sort of some of the concerns that a couple of people had before the conference that it wouldn't be fairly done. So I don't know if anybody knows the answer to that.
Frank here.
Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I was one of the organizers also. None of the speakers were limited. They finished what they had to do. We had discussed it beforehand, and they said that Dwayne Deese said he didn't have that much to present, and he was going to talk as long as he would be permitted to, and nobody cut him off. And the same thing with presenting the CIT position by Matt. He presented as much as he wanted to, and we filled up the rest of the time with Barbara's talk. There was no limitation. If the other spoke longer, Barbara would have been squeezed down further to fit it within the schedule of the program.
Now, this is Ned.
Wow.
This is Ned. I was at the conference also, and that's my impression, that everyone pretty much finished up what they had to say, and then the floor was left open to finish as Barbara came on, and she pretty much filled the slot. So I don't think anybody got really cut off.
So essentially, nobody was limited at all, right? In your impression?
No, nobody was cut off.
Nobody was cut off. Nope.
Yeah. No, but if I may, I mean, the limits initially were very clear, because when I was invited, there were limits to all three presentations were to be limited to 50 minutes. And so I find it kind of mind-boggling that all limits would be removed, and that one person would be allowed to basically make twice as long of a presentation as anyone else. It seems like things got very informal in terms of the Pentagon. It was, you know, originally was the debate idea was dropped, which I understand was at primarily at Craig Ranke's request. But it seems to me that there was still going to be some attempt to give the three different perspectives a fairly, you know, strictly equal treatment. And so I find that this is kind of damaging to the whole sort of credibility of this exchange, not the whole conference, but just the Pentagon, you know, exchange, to have one person go twice as long. I don't understand why that would be allowed.
I think we may be conflating time with quality or information. If nobody has any information to present beyond whatever time they're up there, then what's the point? It can't
well,
be
I'm not saying people should.
Time.
I don't think people should keep talking if they've run out of things.
Okay. Susan, go
ahead. Frank, please correct me if my memory is incorrect on this, but as I recall, early in the planning, first of all, we were discussing whether or not to make it a three-day conference or a two-day conference, and for budgetary reasons, we decided on a two-day conference. Am I correct that so far
That's
on
correct.
That?
That is correct.
Okay. And then we had, initially, we had a problem with the two-day conference because we had a whole, pardon my French, shitload of speakers lined up. And that's when we started to draft a suggested agenda, an outline, just to try and see how people would fit in. I think that's where the 50 minutes came in, as we were starting to draft how we were going to squeeze so many speakers in. And then one by one, speakers kind of, you know, had conflicts, or for whatever reason, it wasn't going to be as tight as we thought it was going to be with the speakers. Am I recalling that correctly?
That is correct. And if you were there Saturday morning, in the manufactured terrorism section, you had Webster Tarpley speaking, Issa Hodge, American-born Muslim, and Kevin Barrett. Webster Tarpley went way over where he spoke. He was supposed to be limited. We didn't stop him. And that did not in any way impact upon the other speakers, because they said that they didn't need as much time to speak. So again, we're talking about a pre-planning and trying to fit things in and then being more flexible as it went on. Nobody was cut off.
Yeah. Paul Zaremko and the
matter
of fact,
even Dick Gregory went on.
Oh, good Lord.
Pretty
yeah.
overly. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that feedback. Paul?
Yeah, I have, first of all, I want to make one reaction that the problem that I think Craig did not enunciate well enough is that Barbara went way beyond the time frame of that session, which was supposed to end, I don't know, at 12:15 or whatever it was, but she didn't end till 1 o'clock. So that's where the limit came in, is pushing lunch about 45 minutes past or whatever it was. But anyway, I don't really, whatever. Just a comment. But I have two questions. Spinning off of the last teleconference, the first one is, was the order of the speakers on Sunday morning decided by lot, which is what, what's his name, Ripley told us.
George Ripley.
Right.
Yes.
It was decided by lot, so it just happened that the lot turned out exactly the way it was printed.
Yes.
Okay. That's Frank? Frank, is that you talking?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. By the way, hi. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, how you doing? How are things in Buffalo?
Well, we have Marty McKee here. You know of him. He's doing all the video stuff for the Richard Gage stuff. He's right on the top of the credits.
Yes, I know of him. I have not met him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Let me go to the other thing, the other question I had, and that is that Dominic, I can't remember his last name, from...
DiMaggio.
Excuse me?
DiMaggio,
right. Was supposed to be talking, and he was just, you know, he just disappeared. Nobody announced what happened to him or whatever. So could you maybe update us on what happened?
Yes, first of all, it was announced. I think George Ripley got up in the middle of the conference. He was not on screen because he was in the audience and announced it through what the BBC might call a cock-up. Didn't come. He evidently there's some problems in terms of money, et cetera, and it was a miscommunication in terms of him renting a car and coming. And he never called. We tried to get in touch with him for 2 or 3 days ahead of the conference. He didn't answer his phone. And I don't think that as of a couple of days ago, they still hadn't reached him. So for some reason, he just disappeared. We don't know why. So that's something we're still looking into. It was certainly not our intention to not have him come. It just didn't work out. Now, that may have been poor planning on the part of the contacts with Dominic, et cetera. So I don't know. I don't want to spread blame around because I wasn't living in Washington at the time. I don't know what they were doing. Or I was not out in Shanksville. So there was some sort of mess up.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for that, Frank. anybody else, while we're on the subject, have anything to say about the conference or any questions?
I'd like to get on, just make a quick comment again, Craig.
Go ahead.
Clarify something. Yeah, just to clarify what Paul was talking about, he's right. Yeah, the whole issue of the whole thing going beyond the total a lot of time, I guess, is a concern too. But actually, I was actually more concerned with the fact that the idea of this originally was going to be a debate because it was to look at these different, put all these different ideas, perspectives on the Pentagon up against each other and sort of see which one, survived kind of thing. Now then the debate idea, I understand, that was left aside and it was three presentations, but it was still, the way it was described to me very clearly, and I interviewed Matt Sullivan about this, was that it was still going to be equivalent because it was not, while not a debate, it was still three different points of view being put up against each other in an equal way. So I'm not so much concerned about whether it went into lunch as I am concerned about the fact that idea of it be of sort of equal treatment for the three just seemed to have kind of gone out the window somewhere. And it's not that I think the other two should have spoken longer. I think, if you're given a 50-minute limit, then everybody gets 50 minutes, and then, they can take less if they want. But I think it's a problem with especially with the Pentagon. We know how sort of delicate things can be where the Pentagon's concerned, and people can be easily offended. it just seemed like a really bad decision to allow that, given all the concerns that everybody was already aware of. So I just wanted to clarify that it really was that was my main concern.
After lunch, this is Frank again, what we did, and we didn't do that with any other group of speakers because there really wasn't any points of contention with the other speakers. What we did was we got all three of the speakers up for about a half hour, 40 minutes to answer questions from the audience. And I think one of the questions was, what's your strongest point, what's your weakest point? And they had a chance to go back and forth over that. So some of them used that time, some didn't. So, but we made some attempt to get them up in front of the audience, all three standing together and trying to answer questions from the audience. So there was an attempt to make it, I don't want to say debate, because, again, this is only my opinion, but some sort of interaction between all three.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about the conference before we...
Yeah, I want to make one other point. I don't know if Barbara was going to make a point, but interestingly enough, we made some interesting contacts with staff at the hotel, some of whom were there on that day, and some of whom had heard stories given to them as they started the employment after the fact. And I don't want to reveal that information right now because we're trying to get them sworn statements for them, and I don't want to muddy the waters right here. So having the conference right there provided us, hopefully, with some sworn witnesses to what happened that day. More to come.
Well, you're really advancing the truth then, weren't you?
Robin on the stack.
Robin, go ahead.
Kudos to all who participated in this, regardless of the bumps, okay, and lumps and irregularities. And I have my fingers crossed that the Truth Movement will come to appreciate that doing this on an annual basis, having eventually maybe a discussion, sharing information from all the different camps, would be a force that would forever annoy the powers to be that pulled this whole thing off. If we end up one way or another, still there, still vibrant, still talking, still looking, still researching, and we eventually become a little bit more cordial and just say, okay, well, let's just keep on sharing our information, friendly fences concept that I've talked about a lot on this conference call, it's really good things are going to happen. So I thank everybody who did this. Thank you so much. It's so important. San Diego is good. San Francisco's got a nice theater thing going on. New York City's always going to be a problem. Okay, but boy, you know, if you can do something in Washington, D.C. every year regarding American 77 and the Pentagon, boy, are we going to annoy them. Oh, man.
Frank, again, if I just may comment, I think this conference was an excellent start. Obviously, not everything went exactly according to Hoyle, but I think it was an excellent start. There was a good feeling in the crowd. And let me just add, I wish somebody would be speaking to what happened in New York City with the billboard and hundreds of people there passing by, literally thousands of people going past that billboard, and interaction with people standing around listening to Richard Gage and other talkers with the dedication of that billboard, which is going to be up there. That was also a very important event.
Yeah, we were hoping to be able to deal with some other 9/11 anniversary events and issues tonight, but we're unfortunately running fast out of time. But I think Robin spoke well to our appreciation for the work that was done and getting the first ever Washington conference together, and hope that there'll be many more behind it.
Robin here. Listen, you know, the fact that it was standing room only is telling us something. It really is. It coincides with, you know, what was just said about New York City and the billboards and all the other places. I'm in the street all the time. I'm just trying to tell you, we're just getting close to turning this corner. It was standing room only, okay, down in Washington, D.C., and next year, if they do it again, it's going to be bigger. I'm telling you.
Okay.
People are turning.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all of you who were participants and who came to the call here to give us the feedback that we needed for the record. We are now going to return, although we're almost out of time, we are out of time, in fact, back to the question that we put on the table about the outreach to Kevin. Barbara was the last speaker, and I still have Robin, Ned, and Frank on the stack to speak to that, and then let's see if we can kind of rush this thing into a conclusion so that we can end the call. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, 2 points, very simple. Number one, definitely ask Kevin. He will not agree. I don't think he will agree, but I'm going to second and really magnify the movement, I think, by Craig or somebody, to create another phone call at which Kevin is the focus, because I have read both books, okay, and it is very clear to me that Kevin Ryan did avoid, okay, engaging Israel. This is like a good cop, bad cop situation. But Kevin allowed enough contact for Berlin, if he eventually wants to bridge the gap between what Kevin reported and the nefarious people who have always been doing black ops in our country for 30, 40 years, okay? There'd be a very interesting bridge between that and Israel. So this is great. What is happening right now is great. So yes, invite Kevin. Don't be surprised if he doesn't want to respond right now, but I think he set the table for Paul Berlin to come back with another book or something else that takes Kevin's beautiful work, okay, which is well-researched, and then says, okay, there we are, but let's talk about the people that Kevin didn't completely, you know, out as Zionists or whatever it might be. And let me tell you how, you know, how each of what Kevin, every chapter, what every person that Kevin talked about, let's talk about how Zionists were involved in that. So this,
yeah,
this, is,
could,
this
maybe,
is tremendous.
Maybe he could call his book the other 19, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
This is all good.
So,
all good.
All right, so Ned, you're next.
Yeah, I approached Kevin a number of weeks ago about basically joining 9/11 teleconference on as basically as a guest, and then I would obviously advise everybody to see what Kevin just lives a few miles from here where I live, so there are some issues going on. I'm not sure what they are because I've tried to make contact, personal contact with him, and for whatever reasons he tends to avoid that. His answer, specific answer to 9/11 Truth was no. I have an email on that. It may change for whatever reason. You know, I don't know. I haven't had any chance to talk to him directly to get his feelings about, you know, about these things. But you know, I'm just passing my experience with him up to present. And
what does he know about? What does the no refer to?
He was not interested in participating in a teleconference call.
Oh, okay.
You know, I had this in an email, but I mean, like I say, I
Ned, did you make reference to Christopher Berlin and any controversy, or was it a general no?
No, it was. This was just a general invitation. It was pretty much the same way I approached Chris Berlin about participating in a conference call and saying, well, we have this available, this is the agenda, and we go from there.
For my personal opinion, nobody knows everything about 9/11, so anybody who puts their chin out there...
Robin, Frank is next on the stack. Frank,
all right.
Go ahead.
Okay, quickly, I just want to go back to the conference based on what you just said in terms of Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan was invited to come to D.C. To speak, not about the Pentagon, which we specifically made on Sunday, separate from Saturday. And he was invited to speak about motive, men, and means of exactly what his book was about, and we were going to publicize his book. He hemmed and hawed and finally said no, and the reason he gave was because we were going to discuss the Pentagon on Sunday. He didn't want to even come on Saturday to discuss his book, and we wouldn't give him the whole hour to talk about it. So there's something going on not only with the Israeli issue, but also with the Pentagon for whatever reason. But getting back to the Christopher Berlin issue, I think you should talk to him first, Christopher, because he is the featured speaker, before you make any plans about asking Kevin to be on the call, whether he's going to be there or not. I wouldn't go ahead and talk to Kevin until you talk to Christopher and see how he feels about it.
Well, hold it. Before we go further, Kevin Ryan is, I believe, on our list of invitees, so he will be given the normal invitation anyway.
Right. But I wouldn't go out of the way.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. You're speaking against the proposal. Okay. All right. Okay. So does anybody else that hasn't spoken yet want to speak to this proposal? I think that's everybody. So let's just go ahead and take a vote on it. All in favor of doing a special outreach to Kevin to get him to participate in the call, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
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 Nay. The nays have it, so we won't do that. Now, we have to consider the other option that Craig brought up, which would be instead to approach Kevin about doing a special conference call similar to the one that we're planning with Christopher. Who wants to speak to that proposal? Oh, I'm sorry, is there a second to that proposal?
Second. Robin?
Okay.
All right, so who would like to speak to that one? I guess we have to, first of all, we'll be Craig, and then we'll go from there. We'll also talk to you on Skype.
I think it would be great to have Ryan on one of our calls. I think it's going to be a fruitless attempt, honestly, based on what we just heard, and also based on just what I just, you know, have heard from Ryan in the last, you know, few months and a couple of years, whatever. It just seems like I don't think he's going to want to hear an approach from me, because his book has gotten some criticism on my blog, not an article I wrote, but so I don't think he's going to be excited. He knows where I stand on his position on the Pentagon, so if we were going to invite him, I would say somebody other than me should be the one doing the inviting, but I have a feeling he's going to say no anyway. So I think it's certainly a great idea to ask, and it would make a great call, but I wouldn't hold any of our breaths.
I have an alternative suggestion, Paul.
Paul,
yeah, what about Elias Davidson's Hijacking America's Mind on 9/11? It just came out this summer.
Great idea. Well,
it's really an excellent book.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but let's do one at a time, okay? So do you want me to put that on the stack to be considered after we talk about Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay. So who else would like to speak to the Kevin proposal?
This is Robin on the stacks.
Go ahead, Robin.
I just think we should, it's very clear that Ned has gotten some feedback from Kevin that he's not interested, but I think that we should formalize that and let him say no thank you, okay? And it's okay, because he may be doing something.
Well, okay, so let's clarify this. His no was to be a regular, just to participate in any of our regular conference calls. He has not been approached about the question of having a special conference call in which he would be the focus and the only focus. So that's really what we're discussing at this point, whether we should approach him on something like that.
We should approach him to have his own self-focused conference call. Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this? All right. All in favor of asking Kevin to do a similar special conference call, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
All right, the ayes carry. So, Ned, would you be willing to do that outreach since Craig thinks that it would be more politic for somebody else to do it? Would you be willing
to? Sure, happy to.
Okay. All right. Now, we have a third proposal to do a similar thing with Elias Davidson. That was Paul's proposal. Paul, do you want to speak to that?
Well, I don't have a lot to say. If you haven't read the book, then you probably don't know what's going on. But if you do read it, I mean, it's really, really top-notch stuff. Very, very penetrating. Comparing, for example, the stories about the phone calls that they're actually reported compared to how the government distorted what was claimed, and also, I mean, many other things. But that happens to be half of the book, only because that's a huge amount of material he had to cover. The book is about 300 pages. Anyway, I mean, it's hard. If you don't know him, I suggest you have a look at Elias Davidson, Hijacking America's Mind. America's Mind on Line 11. It's 2013. It's on Amazon.com, for example.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this proposal? I guess it should be seconded, though. Does anybody want to second this proposal so we can discuss it?
Craig, I'll second it.
Okay. Who else would like to be on the stack?
Craig, I'll just say real quick that I think it would be, he'd be a great one to have. He goes into too the whole issue of how there's no actual evidence that any of the alleged hijackers got on any of the alleged planes. Which I think is a really important point, and he's part of the evidence he covers. So I think he'd be a great focus for a call.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to it?
By the way, Robin? He's Palestinian.
Robin? Yeah, Craig, would you make sure that in this these minutes the name of that book is included so that I can go and buy one?
Yeah, sure. Will do.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, all in favor of making a similar approach to Elias Davidson, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, that one carries without objection. So, Craig, would you do the honors and see about approaching Elias?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, that's no problem with that. Yes, sure.
Okay, I think to both Ned and Craig, I think a useful approach will be to let them know that we are planning a first one now. We're in the process of planning the first one with Christopher Boleyn, and we would just like to be able to do these, with other noted authors in the 9/11 Truth Movement, so that they understand that this is not unique to them, but something that we are trying to include them in. Okay.
Can I ask for a clarification, Canon? Are we actually talking about having extra calls in the case of Ryan and Davidson?
Yes,
like,
yes. Well, we are. Okay, that was my understanding that, yeah, because actually on these calls, we don't really have enough time to really get into it with these people. So I think it has to be
a
special call.
That's a great idea.
So, I'm kind of thinking that it might be better to wait until after we have the first one with Boleyn, just to make sure that this is that this thing works, and that people show up for it and that people feel it's worthwhile. But it would be very nice to have that under our belt when we approach the others, but not necessarily. So that was just my thinking on it.
And the sooner the better. Throw the spaghetti against the wall. Get the authors. Educate ourselves. Yep. It's all good.
Okay. All right, so I guess that our consensus is that we want to approach all these three immediately, and in the case of Christopher, with dates in mind, so that we can get that rolling as quickly as possible. Okay? I think we're done for tonight. It's been a pretty productive conference. Thank you all for your participation. We look forward to
Ken, I'd like to
one.
Say something.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We do have announcements, so we need to do that before we leave. But go ahead, James.
I just like to, I guess, toot my own horn a little bit and say that my long-awaited, by me anyway, new book, Troublesome Country, is out in print from Progressive Press just this week, and it covers a lot of the backstory in American history for 9/11, makes it. Shows that 9/11 wasn't at all an isolated event or really that extraordinary, but was maybe just a larger example of a lot of things that had gone before and since. So I'd like to recommend, if I could, that people take a look at my new book. It's up on Amazon, and it's called Troublesome Country.
Okay, thank you, and I hope others will take you up on that and support your literary endeavor. Who else would like to make an announcement?
Robin.
Robert.
Robin, Craig, can you include that book in your note, your minutes too, so I can order that book?
Sure. Okay, who else? Announcement? Okay, then I think that does it for tonight. Who else said something?
That was me. That was Craig. I'm sorry. I don't know if this is an appropriate time or not, but I'm back to the thing that we had talked about before in terms of my suggestion that we try to limit speeches during the special calls. I wonder if it would be if some sort of a time limit would be in order.
Why don't you propose one?
All right. All right. I would propose that anybody asking a question on the Christopher Berlin call, that they be restricted to 60 seconds.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, then let's go ahead and vote on it. All in favor of a one-minute limit on questions to...
Robin on the stack.
Okay, Robin, do you want to speak to it? Go ahead.
I think that the concept that we are developing should be that we should be listening more than speaking.
Mm-hmm. That's consistent with that.
I agree.
You're here. Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this before we vote? Okay, then. All in favor of the proposal to limit questions to 60 seconds on the Christopher Berlin call, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then that's done. All right, thank you very much for that, and again, for all everybody's participation in the conference, and we'll look forward to seeing you the last Wednesday of October, if not sooner.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay.
Right, bye.
Nice job, bye. Ken.